This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Dude, I got water ass.
You got, poor guy.
Isn't that the worst? Like, I don't know, you know, 50 years old, you can't ever put your finger on what it is. I mean, like, if you go out and you get totally annihilated, drunk the night before, and you wake up the next day, you got water ass, you know what the root of the cause is.
Yeah.
But when you just wake up just from a normal ass sleep, and your stomach goes, and you ate nothing. Like, I didn't eat spicy Thai food. I didn't eat, you know, in fact, I think I ate roast beef and potatoes.
Absolute opposite of what should create that.
Yeah. How does that cause water ass? I don't even know what it is. Could it be stress? Could it be just be?
You need to get a fire department hose in your asshole, bro. You need to get an enema with a fire department hose, because your diet and your drinking over these years. Have you ever been had an enema?
I've never had an enema.
Whoa, have you had bro. One? Hell no, but you got at least, I got a 5-year head. I got a six. I'm 43. I just turned 43. I got a 7-year head start on your butt cheeks. Just the last 7 years of the shit you've ate.
I'm not even sure what are the benefits. It has to be, there's a health benefit to an enema, right?
Clean your shit out. Yeah, you got to fucking clean out your intestines. Listen, I can talk about it all day.
It goes up in your intestines or just your butthole?
Well, it's got to get up in there at some level. I mean, I'm not exactly sure, but like, you got to be able to, how's the flush out work then? What's the point? Like, just your asshole?
Can I just put it in my ass and then like do a handstand to get it down in there deeper before I let go of it? I don't know. I don't know how.
Good question, but I don't know. You need to do something though. That's your problem. It's eternal, bro. You got some fucked up intestines.
It's just what,
you got cop intestines, bro.
Who knows? Who knows?
Nothing worse than cop intestines, except for Big Mac fryer guy for 20 years intestines.
All that fast food and donuts and bad gas station coffee catching up to me. I don't know what it is.
All those alcoholic nights, all those nights you spend hammered and only show up and have to do some important shit right away at 7 a.m.
You know how debilitating it is to have water ass? Because you can only do things in 15 to 17 minute increments. Because you know every 15 to 17 minutes, you're going to have to sit down. Even if only air comes out, you got to sit down just in case.
Happy New Year, Todd, bro.
Hey.
That's your New Year. That's how Todd rings in the New Year.
That's how I ring in the New Year.
That's always an unsettling sound when it's just like, it sounds like pee. You're like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's what? Like Chris Farley. Oh my God.
What's happening to my butt?
That's your New Year, bro. You know, we hung out at the house on New Year's, bro. Bought it, hung out, you know, now he's been chilling out. I went today to buy all the ingredients to make soup tomorrow. I'm gonna make the soup of Toscana from Olive Garden tomorrow.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah,
we were boring on New Year's Eve here that Angie set an alarm for 11:45 to wake us up so that we could pour a glass of champagne and toast the New Year's.
Honestly, we were like that over here too, bro. It was fighting the best we could.
Yeah, we wanted to go to the comedy club initially because that's kind of our tradition. Just go to the comedy club, watch a show, hang out with the staff afterward, you know, celebrate New Year's there that way. But COVID, it's just rancid. It's just killing it over there. Every employee's got it right now at that company.
Dude, everybody's got it everywhere. I've at this whole point of being in this whole panorama, I've never known as many people as I know right now that have it.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And obviously, we do discuss that a little bit later in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But, you know, we're going to have some announcements this weekend. We have our 100th episode, the next episode, Todd.
Yes, you're coming to Indy, baby. We'll be doing it live.
Yeah, I'll be doing live episode, our next episode at your house. We're hoping Chris Lytle stops by. We haven't really done much organizing other than you and I being in the same room.
I mean, he lives just outside of Indy. He lives like 25, 30 minutes from me. I think he can make it. All he's got to do is grab a bottle of his bourbon, get his fucking, you know, tired ass over here.
By the way, if you guys are shopping for bourbon, make sure if you're especially Indiana, go get you some of that Chris Lytle Lights Out bourbon, bro. That Lights Out bourbon. I can't wait to get a bottle. I'm going to tell him, bring it. I'm buying it. I don't want a bottle. Like, you know, he's not going to, we have to like fight him to give him the money.
A couple of my friends said it's fire. It's really good.
Bro, you know what I like is that he's not Conor McGregoring it up. Right. Like, so what Conor did, I think, with his was he went to a distillery or whatever. He got a quick made batch, slapped on some logos, and just because the vanilla I've had his whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
The vanilla is it tastes very extracty.
Yeah.
Like they just put the flavoring in it. It didn't come from like, it's not like this is a whiskey that gets its vanilla flavoring from the oak barrels that made the, you know, it was prior.
Right. It wasn't aged like, that way.
It wasn't aged flavor. In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, let me take one of those little squirt bottles like girls do in their vodka. They break them out and it turns
like the Mio, the vanilla Mio.
Yeah. That's all they did was put some vanilla Mio in the barrel.
Big fan of Mio, by the way. I mean, fuck, it's like $98 a bottle, but it's so delicious. If you use it sparingly, you can turn a good 15, 20 bottles of water into something completely separate.
Right.
They should just put whiskey in those kind of things, bro. Like, what are we doing here? I want to squirt the whiskey out. I don't want to have it go.
You know, they make so much money off that meal. They probably don't have to worry about anything else. But all this time, I'm like, I always tell Angie, because she's a meal freak, right? She just carries it in her purse everywhere. She, you know, always has it. And I'm like, why don't they have their own drink? Like just cans of, you know, meal seltzer or something. But then I got to thinking about it. Well, every single person except me that I know carries around Mio. So they're probably got so many gajillion dollars right now that they're like, I don't think we need to do anything
else. Yeah. And you know, you don't also, when you carry the Mio, it's like a chapstick. It's not like you're carrying a bottle of something.
Yeah.
It's not heavy. Mm-hmm. It's there when you need it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like somebody to, I don't know. I was going to say that. Yeah, but no, Mio's always there, bro. Mio's there for the people, man. No free ads, bro. I ain't fucking doing nothing free for no Mio. My podcast desk legs should be here any day.
Sweet.
So I'm pumped about my new legs to come in from my desk, and I already got my undercarriage. I'm waiting on my drawer also. I got a drawer for it.
Ooh.
I got to have stuff. I got to have a place to stuff stuff, Todd.
Yeah. Because I have no drawers, so I got just all this shit just laying out on top of.
Yeah.
I can only use, I have four desks in here, and I can only use half of one desk because everything else has just got shit piled on it.
I'll be honest. I think about, you know, adults in my life, more adult than me. You know, like, let's say my girl's parents. I feel like I feel like a child with adult. Like, if you come up in my fucking office and you look to the side of my desk, you're like, what is this guy 43 years old, bro? A bullhorn? Fucking plastic blue cups, Pringles, lotion, a fucking stack of chips, keys, a camera, a head scratcher, a flashlight, duct tape, a headband, a bag of doggy shit bags, all toys, a little thing of Listerine, a fucking a Yeti mug with all these little stickers on it. Like, am I 12?
Your office looks like the guy who runs the softball park. His office.
Jesus, bro.
Just
I'm just a child over here. I got a little refrigerator with a bunch of those. Now, that, in all fairness, that's not my refrigerator over there. That camera, that is Terry's, my lady's son's refrigerator from his upstairs video game room before he left to college. But occasionally
college?
I like to go, you know, put a little 12-pack in there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm up here. Me and you were rapping on one night, having a little fun on a Saturday or something.
Kick open that fridge, empty it.
I'm just pathetic,
the hard
bro.
Way.
I'm absolute pathetic.
Bro, did you throw bags this morning?
Yeah, dude, every day. I got them in the garage.
Okay.
So
I'm envious. I thought about you today as I was like, it's freezing ass cold here today. So
yeah,
I go out to my garage for something and I was like, fuck, man. I saw my boards and I was like, God, it'd be nice just take an hour to throw some bags right now. And I was like, I'm so fucking jealous. I guarantee you, Sean, because your garage is much bigger than my garage.
Well, no. Yeah, it is a very large garage. But can you go catty corner and fit at least one row? Like, you don't have to fit both sets of boards because I can't fit both sets in the, like, from each side. Like, I can fit from my line where I throw to the 27-foot point of the front of the board. And then it's like wall right behind the boards. But I could still do it.
And it would be like, plus I have low beams in there.
Oh yeah,
but it would only be like maybe 20 feet.
Yeah, you ain't gonna fly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. I for a while I was like, this ain't gonna work, and then I go, oh, I can just go at an angle because that one part of the garage it goes up under where it's like a you can't walk. You could walk in there, but you got to like duck down. That's where the trash cans go.
Right.
I move the trash cans over against the third car garage over their door. I'm like, yeah. Well, no one's using that garage door.
I had a three-car garage once, and now I'm wish like, God, if I had a three-car garage, I could make this work. I could make it work, but not with the two-car. But I miss throwing cornhole. I miss hanging out at the ACL events in theme with this episode. Yeah. Just so many awesome memories made. You know what I mean? There's nothing like making new memories in a brand new world. And I found, Sean, that the best way to hold on to those memories is by turning them into art that lasts forever from paintyourlife.com.
You want to turn your life over to paintyourlife.com. And that's how we make memories last forever, Todd.
That's exactly how we make them last forever. I mean, you can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo you like at a truly affordable price. Or you can combine photos of people or places that you love into one painting. Let's say you looked really buff at that cornhole event, and there's just a really good picture of you, like side profile, and you had your gut sucked in just right. But then you want to make it look like the time that you were out at the Grand Canyon with your family when, you know, you kind of let yourself go and you were all sweaty and, you know, you kind of had the beer gut sticking out. You can combine those two because an artist makes this thing just by looking at the pictures you sent in.
What are we doing here? When I first heard about paintyourlife.com, I thought, what a great idea. Anniversaries, weddings. I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to get a guy to hand paint this on anything under an expensive amount. But guess what? You can, right, Todd?
You can. You can choose from an entire team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect, and it's fast too. You can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. I know you're not believing what I just said, but it's true.
That's fast as balls. If you're telling me I could send a picture into a company and some dope ass artist is going to actually physically paint that photo for the person that I love so much that I'm gifting this to, and I can get that another 2 weeks because their artists are dedicated to the game, then I'm all in, Todd.
I'm completely in with this. I love art. I took an art appreciation class in college. I don't know. I don't tell a lot of people that, but I did. And I really
appreciate art more than anybody I know. So that's why I respect that we're working with Paint Your Life.
I used to watch Bob Ross religiously. That's how much I love art. And right now people are like, yeah, okay, this is cool and everything, but is there a deal? Is there a special deal for me being a listener of this podcast? And my answer to you is yes. Here's the offer for you. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded. Guaranteed you get your money back. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, I said it, 20% off and free shipping. And to get this special offer, just text the word GUNS, G-U-N-S, to 64,000. That's GUNS to 64,000. Text GUNS to 64,000, 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most.
That's a good deal, bro. Art shouldn't be at a discount, Todd.
Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Text GUNS to 64,000.
All right. 64,000. GUNS to 64,000.
Get you some art. Capture a memory that'll last you forever. And speaking of memories that'll last me forever, I will never, ever in my lifetime, if I never get to go to another ACL event in person, I will never forget those moments. For one, I'm going to go to paintyourlife.com and have them paint my favorite picture of you and I at an ACL event.
Yeah.
But also, I think we have a forever lasting friendship with one of the coolest figures in sports I've ever had the pleasure to meet, Trey Ryder, the media director of the American Cornhole League.
And a super, super duper humongous brain. This guy is an absolute savage of a human being. And I'm pumped we have him on this podcast today, Todd. Episode 99 here.
Let's get to it.
Mr. Trey Ryder. He's a fearless cornhole leader. He's taking a backyard game. You play with only one hand because your other hand is ice cold from a delicious ice cold beer. And he's taking it to the big time. We're talking global. We're talking at the high school level. We're talking little kids. We're talking collegiate championships. What was once only five ESPN broadcasts is now turned into another 12 on CBS at least, plus another Bacardi Open Series, video games. The man has had a hell of a year while everybody else was trying to figure out a way through COVID. My man Trey Ryder and his partner Stacy just absolutely took cornhole to another level. What's up, Trey Ryder? Thanks for coming on the podcast with me and Todd.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I mean,
man.
First, I got to say, about time. You guys have been holding out this invite on me the entire time we've known each other. You've just been like, nah, he's not ready yet.
He's not ready yet. You know, we don't want to, because listen, like when a woman sleeps with a man right away, it's a little bit different. Like, yeah, sometimes it still works out, but at least when you know, when you just wait, and then in the final moment, it's going to be just nice. It's going to be a little sweeter.
We're on third date status now.
Yeah. We've definitely rounded third and we've just hit home. So now
which means you have to get naked now.
And that's not a big deal. You're at home. You're off the clock.
That's a different show.
Trey, so, man, I was going to say welcome back from you. You had a nice little vacation there. I wanted to ask you because I know you've been very, very safe. Obviously, Todd and I had a humongous honor working with you all last five nationals 2021. So, you know, I've gotten to notice, the kind of guy you are. And, you know, you're obviously you can't do what you do unless you're not just like an unbelievably squared away, you know, type A personality organized on top of the intelligence. So, you know, you've been a really safe guy. Mask, you know, you're always safe. You know, you're not a party crazy guy. You've been really safe this year. And then you went, I'm nervous on the cruise ships, but you went on the cruise and you guys had a great time and there was no problems. Did you just say fuck it? One of the safest dudes I know say fuck it and just wing it on the cruise ship?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is for better or for worse, Sean, you've only seen me in a professional setting.
Yes.
So
I know. Yeah. But you don't seem like, you know, you're not like a wingsuit guy, you know, coming down the mountain with fucking a Red Bull video with a wingsuit.
I know you can let loose, but not that kind of guy.
How was the cruise right now? Like in this moment in time, and obviously where we're in that pattern where we got boosted, we got the vax, you know, like it's kind of like COVID still hurting people, but it's not nearly as thick and concentrated and hurt in taking the numbers as it, you know, people are getting it more, but it's watered down kind of, right?
Yeah. When we kind of like, we were getting ready for it, it like the timing was really bad because like when we, right. And you book a cruise, when we booked it in July, it was like,
oh, it'll be fine by then.
Yeah, we're clear, you know? And then it gets closer and closer, and you're like, and we're just like, well, we'll just – and then they came out. So – and then, like, right before we booked it or when we booked it, like, they made it mandated that you had to be vaccinated. So everybody on the ship is vaccinated. And then in addition to that, then, like, a week before they went, you're like, all right, now you have to wear a mask the entire time. And so I was like – all right.
A week before you get on the ship?
Yeah, week before we get on the ship. And so
they tell you to wear a mask for a week in public before you get on?
No, while you're on the ship.
You got to wear a mask in public for a week.
When you're on the ship, you got to wear the mask.
Oh, I thought you meant before you got on the ship. I was like, Jesus.
A week before we got on the ship. Yeah.
that's pretty strict.
That's a better rule. No, they were like, yeah, so a week before we get on, they're like, when you're on the ship the entire time. And then in addition to that, like, I don't know if it was like a last minute rule that they made up, or if they, or if we weren't paying attention. But literally 3 days before we were supposed to get on this, it was, they were like, oh yeah, you have to be tested as well. So you have to be vaccinated, you have to wear a mask, and you have to be tested, the three big ones. And so we're freaking out because, like, we're, since we kind of came off of the initial surge of COVID, like, tests aren't necessarily the easiest thing right now to get. So, like, we're scrambling trying to find a rapid test. Meanwhile, so, okay, let me tell you how effed up this is. Ready? So we get a, so we do a rapid test and they're supposed to call us. Okay. And, you know, no symptom, no, no, I mean, we're just going to get tested. Right. So I said, you can tell my wife my results as well. Right. Just do it in one phone call. So they're like, so on the phone, this is the conversation word for word. Hi, is this Miss Shelby Ryder? This is my wife. Yes, yes, it is. Okay, we have your COVID results back and your husband's as well. Are you ready for those? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, okay, well, you tested negative. But is your husband there? And she's like, yeah, she's here. Okay, well, your husband tested negative as well. I'm like, what kind of phrasing is that when you're trying to, like, I'm thinking in like that 10 seconds.
You had it for sure.
Like, the cruise is done. I have to stay home. I'm not going on vacation. Like, in that like 7 seconds of suspense, this is like the worst day of my life. It's wow. Just like, just this horrible, horrible. And then she's like, yeah, okay, but whatever. And then, but yeah, I mean, it ended up being fine. It was a great trip, but yeah, even getting like off the boat in Nassau, it's like you can't get off the boat without your vaccination card. Wow. So it's
really,
it's a weird world.
Well, Sean, do you know Jen Murphy, the comedian?
Yeah, of course.
She's in the middle of a 10-day quarantine on a cruise ship right now. She was there as the comedian, the whole freaking ship quarantined because of exposure.
Oh,
so
man,
she's just in her little room, like, can't leave her little space or her little closet.
Oh my gosh.
That's what scared me the most was, like, during the whole COVID thing, you know, you hate everything that happened was so terrible. But the one thing that just kind of has slipped under the radar is what happened to the people that got caught that happened to be in the cruise ships when the lockdowns hit and when everything hit. Those motherfuckers were left out to sea just eating snails and shit for like a month or two. There's like some absolute horror stories that have just been resonating in my brain. And I'm so... But that, I'm glad that you walk us through it and you know, just to kind of give us what it's like right now. And I mean, honestly, big cruise ships should be throwing you a couple of ducats because you've kind of changed my mind. Like, I know my lady would be a hard sell right now, but, you know, it seems like they're doing it all right, except for look, but then you got this ship over here where someone still slipped through the cracks.
Yeah. I mean, right. You can't control what that person did before other than the rapid test, but if that person got exposed the day before they get their rapid test.
Right.
I mean, it's so ambiguous right now. All you can do is just do the best you can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's kind of where I'm at. You know, this could easily go very political very quick, right? With yeah. The way things are. But like, for me, there are things in place to protect people. And regardless of what your political stance is, you're either going to adhere by them or you're not, right? Mm-hmm, unless the government's going to mandate it and you're going to get arrested if you don't, right? There are people that are flat out going to do it mm-hmm. and there's people that aren't, okay? You can lay as much education down as you want. You can lay as much facts down as you want. The truth of the matter is some people on this end and some people on this end ain't going to change their mind. It's just not right. going to happen. So
yeah.
We have done everything that we can to protect ourselves. We're going to do everything that we can. We want as much of our families to get, you know, protected as they can. But at the end of the day, some people going to be some people, and that's just the way it is. So, you know,
well, in the middle of all the chaos,
I also don't think we can just sit in the house the entire rest of our lives
exactly,
because that
bro.
Ain't going to be a solution either.
No, it's going to be Mad Max Thunderdome when if it comes to that. But you, in the middle of all this craziness or whatever, you're running big time events
yeah.
that are ESPN broadcasts at the end. That's the wrap. And they were so safely coordinated.
They were
conducted.
Bro.
It was so impressive to see such a major operation operate so safely. I mean, kudos to all of you for that. And my, you know, but my question is, what does it feel like to dominate the globe? Because you guys have taken, just like Sean said up front, it's really the first time that a backyard, you know, friendly little game gets blown up into something that's going to end up in the Olympics. I mean,
incredible. And the ripple's been monstrous. Just the ripple alone on the explosion. Let's just go right to the bags alone. I mean, yeah, the bag companies alone, these multi-million dollar companies that have been created now and that are so, it's such a cult following, like Star Wars toys level. Like if you, I know a lot of people that listen, you guys, we know we always talk about Coro. We always talk about being, you know, at the events. We always talk about everything happening, what I'm playing and stuff now. But what you, it's still hard to understand until you get into it. Like until you're there, like what you're dealing with, like when the level of fandom we're talking about, everybody, I would have to say that every person that wears a cornhole jersey has to own at least 20 to 30 sets of bags. And that's on the low end. That's where I'm at. And I'm only a year in, really. Yeah. So like you have to understand that like the explosion, we're talking multi-million dollar level action on the bags. You know, and I love to see the progression of the bags in such a short time. Because there is a humongous progression, but there's also like groups, right? You got groups who stay with the, they're on the front end wave of everything, right? They're out there with their nose first on all the newest versions, you know, whether it be bags that cater to a more roll or bounce or flop. And then you got, you know, you got obviously some of the old school bags, right? Like the you know, like the ones we've always gotten with you, like we got, you know, from All Cornhole.
Yeah, which my game changers are antiquated already. I was like, I'm going to get these new.
That's true.
And now,
that's
like, true. People make fun of me and why it's been just a few months. So I love it, dude. The commerce related to the whole industry that's been created because you guys have really put it on the map.
Just in the U.S. right now, the cornhole bag and equipment market is a eight-figure industry. Mm. I mean, that's how big it is right now, this very second. That doesn't even, you know, scratch the surface of what it could be in this country and what it could be internationally. I mean, we think cornhole is a billion-dollar industry. It's a billion-dollar business.
100%.
I mean, the sky is the limit. It's just navigating how to get there, right, and making the right decisions and trying to layer all the infrastructure in place. I mean, sometimes I have to not think about stuff. Sometimes you want to think about it, but sometimes you can't because it's just like there's an element to taking it one day at a time. And there's also an element to having big dreams and big goals. And it's just about trying to balance the two of those because you can get lost. You can get lost in it just thinking about all the different possibilities. And sometimes if you don't just hone those in for a second and try to identify what's the next step I need to take to make the next big jump, right? How do I do that first? Because, it's crazy. I mean, bags are unbelievable right now. Boards are getting that way. I mean, it's
the airmail. I mean, all the accessories too that people don't think about that come with the other sports. You know, and it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, and being the American Cornhole League, it's got to be in your brain somewhere because you do have to think big picture, right? It's grow or die. Every industry's like that. Every sport's like that. So you're constantly working on growth, going internationally, getting to the Olympics, all these things. But right now, even though you're a huge brand and a powerful, you know, a sports market, it's fun. You guys are fun. You're hanging out. You're drinking beers, and you know you got your own cornhole courts in your office, and it's just fun. Are you afraid of losing it at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I think fun is actually a really great word for it. Now that I think about it, because I mean, that's what it is right now. I think we're in that stage right now, even still, where in 10 years going to be, remember when we were doing that? Like, remember when that was the way we were doing things. And like, that's what kind of makes it super exciting. Cause I even think back, I feel like legitimately I have been working for the ACL in a way. I felt like I've been working for them for 15 years. Right.
Well, you also probably because you're not you don't clock out. That's why your mind, you don't clock out.
Right.
You don't,
that's true.
You might go home at 6 o'clock or something, but you're not clocked out.
As close to clocking out as I get. So.
you could tell too. You got a different smile. You know, you're feeling a little like a little as off the clock as you can feel, almost outside of us having sitting at a bar having beers talking about Clemson football.
Yeah, well, that's football is my other passion. And you just, I do clock in the fall. That's kind of my off season because I do get to go and use my season tickets. Because the fall is kind of a lull for us a little bit. We do have a college tour going on, but we've kind of. You know, that's not something I'm directly involved in.
Yeah, so you're not there calling the games.
My little break is kind of in the fall. So really from the beginning of October through December is actually a really – I mean, it's more planning mode for like the rest of the year, right? And then the rest of the year is executing that year. So it's you know, it's but like you said, Todd, I mean, it's fun. It is a cool thing to be a part of. And, you know, this is what I tell people. I started, you know, full time this year and I haven't worked since I started full time. So, you know, that's yeah. What's cool. I mean, there's certainly things I don't like to do and there's things that are annoying to deal with. But at the same time, like I, for a second, even think about sometimes like, man, like a year ago, I was sitting in I was sitting in my office, you know, designing a new chemical process for my chemical plant that I was working for. And I'm sneaking in between, you know, I have an office and I have a door that's kind of facing this way. So my monitor's facing this way. So I'm spending legitimately maybe 3 hours a day on engineering work. And I'm like cranking though. Like I'm like 3 hours of like complete laser focus, no breaks, yeah. No looking at my phone because I have to do in 3 hours what like the average person has to try to do in 8 to make it seem like I'm actually a full-time employee. Cause I'm like balancing phone calls. Like, you know, okay, I'm trying to take a phone call about cornhole, like having a director's meeting like yeah. This. And I'm like, yeah, we should really increase the payouts for that one event or whatever. And, you know, my boss Jim's like walking by with like these drawings. Hey Trey, can you take a look at this? Yeah, Jim, let me get off this very important
chemical call
related phone call I have right here, and then I'll get back with you. I mean, it just it was like that for almost a year, and so I never want to go back to that. I mean, it was kind of funny to see and like think about, and like that's how my life was for a long time is doing that. And then God forbid I had to do something on camera. I had to do it at 9 o'clock at night with my, oh my gosh, you'll love this one too. Like literally I did at one point I was staying in a duplex and I didn't have an office and I had to do videos and I was using a green screen. So I literally took like clothespins and pinned this sheet of green screen on one cabinet side in my kitchen and on the other side. And I'm in my kitchen and I got my, I got my camera like propped up on a chair. And I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
and you guys appreciate this. You know what it's like to do content and grind on content. It's just like, you find yourself sometimes looking at yourself going, what the hell am I doing? But eventually you just kind of laugh at it. It's like, oh, now we got, you know, fancy cameras and everything like that. And we're doing things a little differently now, but
you got enough, yeah, you got a headquarters that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming the game, because I'm not sure how you guys do it with like 4 employees. Okay. This year alone, you've got almost 30 national events on some level. You got the college events, the college tour, you have the high school championships, you've added a video game. I think you've also added you're manufacturing your own gear now. Like, don't you have like a manufacturing company? You've opened a headquarters, and that's just what I know about. Like, that, I mean, can we get an update on the video game first? Because that's going to be exciting. And I can't, like, I only play one game. I play only Warzone, but I'm about to play a second game, and yeah, that's going to be cornhole.
It's really going to be really cool. I can't wait. I'm supposed to get a teaser video that I can share to social media over the next 2 weeks. Mm. But it's, yeah, Farsight Studios is the developer. If you are a fan, if you've been playing games for a while, do you remember the last game that was produced by a company other than EA that had an NFL license. It was NFL 2K5. It had Terrell Owens on the cover.
I remember 2K.
It had Chris Berman in there, and they had the helmet cam that you could play with, and then they had the My Crib where you could like customize your house or whatever as you were an NFL player or something like that. Anyway, that's the same development team that is doing this one. They also do PBA Bowling 2020 and 2021.
Oh, so that's awesome.
If you're kind of looking to see what is this going to look like and what's the shape going to be, and what's kind of the graphic level and things of that nature, you can check out PBA Bowling. Same company, but yeah, they're putting a lot of effort into it. You know, I did over 2,400 lines in a studio in August. I have to go back over the next 2 weeks and do some finish up on some different lines to get all the commentary portion of it done, me and Bernie. And then, you know, they're trying to build in as much physics as they can. I mean, I had a team of people. We had to put together kind of like Madden ratings for different shots and things of that nature. So, you know, when you play against, you know, if you play against Trey Burchfield, it's going to be pretty damn hard to win, right?
Yeah.
If you play against Matt Guy, it's going to be hard to win, right? And so you're going to be able to create your own player. You're going to be able to play as pros. But a big bulk of it is going to be online head-to-head. There's going to be a big focus of the game is online head-to-head. The career mode version is actually going to be somewhat limited, but the head-to-head is going to be what's going to be really cool. There's going to have esports tournaments and all this kind of thing.
All day.
It's going to be pretty sweet.
Man. And I feel like the guys that actually play a lot are going to have a little bit of an added advantage in there just because of the experience of playing. Like, I'm sure that a PBA bowler is better at PBA bowling on fucking PlayStation than the average dude until he really figures it out. I'm guessing a kid.
I don't know. Terrell Owens was on the cover, and I guarantee you he can't beat anyone that's 12 years old. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny because like some of the conversations we've been having is like, you know, we're trying to he's trying to figure out how to, you know, how to adjust for ratings and things of that nature. Like, they don't want the game to be too easy to the point where it's just like sliding over and over and over again. They want some level of difficulty built in there. So they're trying to work on the game mechanics and, you know, but we're also being very true to players, right? For example, you're not going to be able to throw a roll shot with Damon Dennis. You're just not going to be able to do it.
Oh, okay.
But you're
going
to be able to do it with Noah Wooten. So it's like, that's what's kind of cool is you're going to be able to see those different, shots and how they play player to player. And
how are you going to get the bad companies involved?
What?
I'm just now really starting to dig into this. At first, I was just like video game, you know, and I have so much other, you're thinking about so much other cornhole. But now that I'm digging into the games, we're having this conversation. How about the bag companies? How are they going to get involved?
Yep. So we have.
Oh,
so,
shit.
So the bag, you're going to be able to, you're going to be able to start with a certain level number of bags, and then you can use in-game currency to actually upgrade your bags and purchase different bags and play with different bags. Same thing with players. Like, when you go into the game, right, you may start and unlock, you know, Eric Ryder and Cito Soto, but you can't unlock Matt Guy and Jamie Graham until you've earned enough points and spent enough in-game currency in order to do that. So there's like a system where you acquire currency like that. So that's what's going to be really cool.
How do other people, non-pros, become players in this game?
So you can create your own player. You'll be able to create a player. So Sean Latham will be able to create his own player, and boom, he'd be able to compete and win a world championship right there.
That's it.
Right? And what's really cool is so a couple different things that were really cool. One is they have the complete architectural 3D CAD drawing animation files of the entire Rock Hill Sports and Events Center. So the Rock Hill Sports and Events Center is going to be recreated in the game, in-game.
That
which
swoop
is really
around
cool.
Drone shot to the credits type thing, probably, right?
Oh, yeah.
Swoop it into HQ type thing? Oh,
absolutely.
That's so sweet.
Absolutely. So that's going to be really cool. And then stuff like, you know, all the players were mo-capped, motion captured. So they all had to wear the suits, even down to the fingers. They had to wear things on their hands. So, I mean – between the throwing motion, even the celebrations, they all were required to give like three different celebrations that they normally do. So like things like that are going to be, cool to kind of see how they play out, and you know, board conditions, wind, if it's outside, you know, things of that nature will be taken into consideration. They're putting a lot of effort into the game. They want to make it something special, and they want to make it a long-term thing that's recreated year over year. So this is it's a big deal.
Oh, it's gonna hit like crazy. It's gonna take off like wildfire.
I'm so excited about it.
It's gonna be such a fun
it.
Game to play. Now, when you talk about the sport itself, the ACL, the meteoric rise. I mean, I can only compare it to maybe the UFC, but you have just demolished the rate of growth that they had. Like, and I want to hear your
reasoning. And quadruple the speed.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. So I need you to give me your reason why you think it happened so quickly. And I'm going to give you mine. And you tell me if I'm right or wrong or whatever. I think it's because, like, even as quickly as the UFC went, which, again, you guys have demolished that rate of growth. But when you watch that, there's nothing in your brain that says, I could be one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, no, they're super beings. They're superhuman people. But when you watch cornhole, even though if you think you can, you can't just get in there and play with somebody that's a pro. You can't. But you look at them and you think, I can be one of them. I think that's the reason it grew.
I agree to a big consent. And I'm glad you said UFC, because UFC is a lot who we compare a lot of things to. It's kind of who we're using as a gauge, because, you know, other people compare us to other sports, and it's like, look, they've had 50-year head starts, and if we're already close to being where they are, that's, I don't think that's fair to us, right?
Right.
I believe in our brand. I believe in our sport. So I use two terms, and you kind of summarize them, accessibility and relatability. So accessibility, from a young age, you can play cornhole pretty darn inexpensively. You know, you want to play a league in baseball? Well, you better cough up $1,500 for your kid. You want to play a league in cornhole? It's going to cost you $10 every Tuesday night to go out there and play with the players in your region. So it's accessible to everybody. The equipment is relatively inexpensive. Obviously, if you're going to buy and get the best of the best boards, you know, you may spend $450, but at the same time, you spend that one time, you know, you're buying a baseball bat every 2 years at $350.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned the bag, the gloves, the cleats.
Exactly. So cornhole in itself is accessible. Relatable is the second thing. I say this phrase over and over again. People turn on TV, they go, what the hell is this? And then they go, oh, John, remember that time we went to that tailgate and we threw the four bags in the hole against those guys and we crushed them? Like, that's me right there, right? And that's, you know how many times – I can't tell you how many times we get retweets or Facebook comments where you tag a friend and go, this was me on Saturday, right? Because they played on Saturday, right, and they were just drilling it. So that's kind of like a big picture reason that I completely agree with, Todd. I think you hit the money on the head. I'm going to limit it down actually into a more identifiable, you know, smaller reason, is that we made it a priority to get ourselves on TV networks as much as we possibly could, at least to start, right? We got a deal with ESPN. We got a deal with NBC Sports, and we got a deal with CBS. And we told ourselves, we're going to be all over everywhere. And part of the reason we wanted to do that is because we really, really wanted to reach people that were not looking for us, right?
Yeah.
If you play cornhole, at your local Tuesday night blind draw, you are eventually going to find yourself looking for the American Cornhole League, right?
100%. If you're in a blind draw, you.
Right. But the people watching ESPN, the people watching CBS for sure, and the people watching NBC Sports might not necessarily be doing that. So if we continuously just continue to poke and poke, hey, here we are. We're on ESPN News again. We're on ESPN2. We're on ESPN News. We're on ESPNU. We're on CBS Sports. We're on NBC Sports. It just becomes now. 2 years ago, you would have said, I can feel it changing, because 2 years ago it was like, what is on TV? And now the conversation is, we're not there where we want to be yet, but the conversation is, oh yeah, I saw that on TV the other day. Mm-hmm. That's the difference, is because now you can talk to almost anybody out there and they can say, oh yeah, I saw that on TV one time. The next step for us is to transition those people into cornhole's on this Saturday at 7 o'clock. Where are we watching it? That's the next step in our growth. And so for us, I think it was a big, big deal for us to try to get out in front of many faces as we could. Now, we've benefited greatly from social media. Because of how viral we have been over the past few years, we have gotten so many people plugged in and so many people kind of following us. And that has driven a lot of value and revenue for us. So two things kind of lined up. We took the risk. And even if at times our TV deals weren't necessarily the biggest revenue drivers for us, but when we combined that with the ability to be very viral and continue to drive sponsorship value through social media and trickle down rather than just on TV buy and TV advertising, when we combine those things, that's when we saw the explosion. It's because now sponsors are like, love this. I got millions and millions of people associating cornhole, which is something that everybody does, with my brand. And ultimately, it just became this perfect match. And that's ultimately, I think, where we saw that explosion, getting in front of people and then just capitalizing on social media.
Talk about how much it helps that it's an easy sport to relate to if you're a gambler. Like, it's very conducive, I think, for gambling, because it's easy to understand, I would assume. Yep. So the handicapping, all that stuff makes sense. And you and Sean, you know, have done some DraftKings stuff, whatever. How much has that helped?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, we rely on people being competitive, right?
Right.
I think the thing that makes us great is because, all right, let's take teenagers. Teenagers have esports right now, right? What other sport can teenagers play at the highest level and compete for world championships except for esports?
Nothing.
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 Okay. Let's pause. Let's take 20 years old through 33. I'll say 30. Let's say 20 to 30, and I'm going to segment them out for a second, right? Forget about it. What sport out there, unless your name is Tom Brady, if you're 30 to 70, can you be the number one player in the world?
Right.
Yeah. None.
It's incredible.
None.
This is it.
So really what you're telling me is I'm handed and so then to build on top of what you were talking about with gaming and being people being very like competitive, it's what sports out there are there for that 42-year-old who just loved playing baseball? I mean, yeah, he went out and played church league softball for a couple seasons, but then he blew out his knee and he just couldn't do it anymore and it just hurt, right? And so that's what cornhole is for a lot of people, because it is something that's not overly physical, mm-hmm. which means it can be done by anybody, but it still requires a ton of hand-eye coordination. It still requires competitiveness. It still requires all those things that we grew up loving when we played sports. It's just we couldn't get to that level because maybe physically we weren't there. We weren't 6'2", 240, and 3%, you know, body fat and just able to run a 4.4, right? We because we weren't that, we couldn't play in these professional sports. But that's what's great about cornhole is you don't need any of those things, right? You just need hand-eye coordination, dedication, and mental toughness to be able to win.
Which is one of my favorite parts, because a lot of people are like, oh, I can do that. I'm like, let me tell you something. I'm a comedian. I performed at the fucking Alamo Dome. I've done Radio City twice, okay? Been on television a couple times. The level of pressure, even the live stream, there could be 2,000 people watching any moment on a live stream. It's still that there's and now not even talking about when you get to ESPN with that. I mean, these are regular people. When you got a plumber fucking throwing 11.5 for 400 rounds, He's still a plumber, and now he's on television. He wasn't training to be fucking A-Rod, bro, to hit a home run at the bottom of the ninth, but that's what they're doing. And that's another big thing that black people don't really – I'm not sure they respect what you're looking at on television, because you think, oh, he plays – he probably does this all the time. Like, no, he doesn't.
Right.
No, I mean, yeah, they're not on even broadcast.
The pressure of when the lights come on to make it to the televised broadcast, the real grind is getting to the televised broadcast, because that's where I think the mental toughness is most important, because you got to be on your A game the entire tournament to get there.
8 hours, 8 hour a day.
And Sean, you make a great point, because that's one of the things that people don't realize has been so difficult behind the scenes, because you said it best. This guy isn't A-Rod, right? A-Rod, I don't know A-Rod's background, but I guarantee you at 5 years old, at 4 years old, he had a baseball bat in his hand.
And he had was a crowd by
through
10.
High school, and he was groomed through high school, through college, and all the way through his professional career, not only how to play baseball well, but how to be a professional. Okay. Now I need to take an electrician that has done nothing but rewire houses for his entire life, and now I need to teach him etiquette on camera, how to talk to celebrities, how to run a social media account. You think Joe Schmo, the electrician, knows how to do Instagram and Instagram lives? The answer is no, he does not. Okay. And that's what's difficult, right? And that's where we will lack for a number of years. And that's okay. That's what we need to build, right? Mm-hmm. The league itself has grown. We're now in a position where we need to start building up our players. And surprisingly, the thing that has been semi-helpful in that has been TikTok, because TikTok has become kind of the every person.
Let's talk about the little Trev and his little brother just absolutely racking up millions of views, airmailing on each other in their kitchen.
Yeah, the TikTok has been a way. It's been the kind of the every person's way to go viral, and that speaks 100% to what cornhole is that the every person can get on the boards and actually be the best player out there. So it's growing, but yeah, that's just it's tough. It's tougher than people think.
How does the ACL feel? Because obviously, right now, you know, there's like a humongous separation, right? You have adults that are. And when I say, like, listen, everybody drinks when they play cornhole, I mean that, like, everybody is extremely responsible. You know, like, if everybody, it basically looks like everybody's paying attention to beer commercials, right? Drink responsibly. Because people will drink 10 beers, but you don't know that, because it's not like they're at a bar, standing on the bar, acting like an asshole, getting kicked out. I've only maybe seen one, besides, that's Todd, though, in Indy. But I've only seen, like, one person, and he didn't even get in trouble. He just had to go set himself aside. Like, one time, we're talking thousands and thousands of opportunities, and I've never seen anybody really have a drunk outburst. But, you know, here's the thing, right? Like, you have such responsible drinking, but you also have a sport that is 100% almost, I mean, what percentage would you say is the children are taking over? When I was in Virginia Beach, I was on a blind draw team with Eric Davis. All right. Josh hooked me up at the booth. We didn't sign up. We thought we did. It was already too late, but Eric's partner was in this different pro-am or something or some other event. So he couldn't play. So I was standing there and Josh goes, "You're Eric Davis' partner." So obviously I threw like shit because I felt like, 'cause there was 100 people watching every time we played. But the difference was Eric Davis and I rolled up on these two kids. I was talking to the older brother. He was 14. The younger kid was a shorter kid for his age at like 10, but he looked like he might have been 7.
Right.
His brother looked twice his height, and he's the kid playing Eric Davis. For those who don't know Eric Davis, top 5 player in the world. The kid is absolutely incredible what he does on the courts. He could throw far side roll bag fucking cutters. It's incredible what this kid is doing at his young age of 17. But this other little kid rolls up next to him, stands next to him. Eric throws a block down. This kid throws 4 airmails straight. Like, no thanks, better. Grandpa, looking at the 17-year-old. Like, yeah, hey, Grandpa, keep your fucking blocks and go scram. Why don't you go do 17-year-old kid stuff? But I'm just saying, like, this kid, Brayden, I play with all the time in my leagues in New Jersey. They are incredible. So there is a fine line of balance there, and I think it will be happily solved because no one's ever out of – because everybody is so responsible as far as from the player standpoint. But how does the ACL feel knowing that there's such a – I mean, And obviously kids turn into adults, so they're going to be unbelievable. There's going to be, you know, 40 Trey Birchfields in 20 years at the age of 30, right? Because they're all so young now, but because Trey started so young. So, like, right. How inspiring is that also? Because the sport ain't going anywhere, except it's going to keep going. The Trev Caballeros of the world, his little brother, they're going to be the Matt guys in 10 years or whatever, as far as older dudes that are unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, because our sport is so mental, and it's 90%+ when you get to that top level. I think of younger kids having the same type of, for example, why do you drink alcohol when you play competitively? And the answer is probably to calm the nerves, right? Now, some people drink just to have a good time. I'm saying if you're a competitive player and you are really taking this serious, why do you do that? Okay. It's because you want to calm the nerves, ease your mind, and clear your mind. Okay. So what you're telling me is you want to have the mind of a 14-year-old, because a 14-year-old does not have any worries in the world. They don't care. They're confident. They don't care what anybody else says. I'm just getting, I'm not worrying about the bills I have to pay. I'm not worrying about work on Tuesday. I'm not worrying about anything else in the world because I don't have any worries in the world. Okay. So when I look at someone who likes to drink alcohol and a young kid, they both have that same quote advantage. Right. And so the thing that I start to see, and I see many times, is I see a superstar 16-year-old not turn into a 19-year-old goat. I don't see it happen. Because once you hit 19, 20 years old, your perspective on life changes. And because the game is so mental, that can be the hardest thing to grasp. So what I say is, yes, I love it all. Because more than anything, it just shows that anybody can dominate at any level, right? And I think that just goes, again, to speak to how impressive someone like a Matt Guy is. Because Matt Guy, he went through that phase. And now he's getting to the point where he can dedicate more and more time. And he can justify doing more and more practice because he's seeing the future. And so now he's able to refocus. And I think that's why he's having such a great start to the 2021-2022 season. But to get back to what you're saying, I love seeing the youth. I think it's awesome. I think it's special. And I love seeing the 1 or 2 years where a young kid can be absolutely dominant. The thing is, sometimes I only see that once or twice. There have been very few kids who have been able to translate that level of play on a consistent basis. Now, sport's still young, right? I mean, that doesn't mean to say we can't have someone that's dominant from when they're 15 years old until they're 45. Yeah. I'm just saying history tells me so far what I've seen is that people go through mental fluctuations of how they can focus and handle the nerves, and it's just different for a 14-year-old compared to a 23-year-old.
Yeah, that's it's exciting. And obviously the match that the matchup of the ages, Alex Hicks versus Matt Guy on that 165 bag or 170 bag war. It was like 54 rounds or something like that. For those who don't know, we had Matt Guy, the GOAT right now. Well, he's in his late 40s, probably. I'm assuming maybe 50.
He is eligible for seniors this year. So I believe.
OK, so 55.
Yeah.
That's when I'm going to start dominating. I got 12 years of practice.
Yeah.
But we got Matt Guy going up against who I'm assuming, obviously it's too early to tell, but the favorite right now for rookie of the year would be Alex Hicks, the 12-year-old GOAT who made 164. And I think Matt made 163 bags in. They had like four bags off and like four bags on. And it was a 20-21 score. Alex Hicks come back to win. I mean, that's exactly what you want, right? Like basically that's the game of the future right there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I love watching it because you had two contrasting styles, and that's just what I want. I mean, me as a commentator, I'm selfish, right? I want what's easy to call, and what's easy to call is to talk about this guy can win this way and this guy can win this way, right? NFL championship teams, right? Sometimes you win with defense, sometimes you win with offense, sometimes you win with special teams. Sometimes you're a running offense, sometimes you're a passing offense. And as long as we have that fluctuation and differentiation within our game, I think that's what's gonna make it the most successful.
You know what I can't wait for? The cornhole movies when they start happening, because it happened with bowling. You know what I mean? There's going to be cornhole movies, Trey. It's going to start.
We're working on some stuff behind the scenes.
Good. So. Good for you. Because I could imagine it would start with, like, there'll be a part of a movie where cornhole's referenced and maybe you're in the background commentating something and, you know, and then next thing you know, here comes the comedy, man. You know, there's a whole kingpins for cornhole. Like, I just can't wait for it because there's so much potential there because it is in every person's sport.
Yeah.
Right. All walks of life. Like, I just can't wait for it. So yes, you can't talk about what's going on right now. Obviously if something's in the works, but let me ask you this. If someone has to play you in the biggest cornhole movie ever made, who should play you?
Man.
Sean, if you have any thoughts, you can pick casting as well, Sean, if you want.
Oh, man. That's a good question, bro.
I have
to think about that. I want to give you an answer, though. I don't like that. I don't like to cop out and just, like, not give you anything. But
it is tough on the spot because that's one of those questions where you can really nail it if you have, like, a full minute and a half to think about it or Google through your phone.
Right. It had to be it depends on how serious we want to take it, right?
Like, yeah.
In a not-so-serious version, maybe someone like a Jonah Hill I think would be hilarious.
That was going to be mine!
I was going to say Zach Galifianakis. Really? Yes. If he went real super straight.
Yeah, I was going to say Jonah Hill or Chris Pratt. Like, because
Chris Pratt would be awesome. Right? That's a good idea.
I mean, you kind of look like Chris Pratt. You know what I mean? He's super funny, and he's got your energy. So, yeah, I'll pick between Jonah Hill or Chris Pratt.
I'll take Chris Pratt. There we go. Okay. There you go. You take like Jonah Hill, I'll take Chris Pratt. There we go.
Before we get you out of here, first of all, we say thanks again. It's been an actual honor working with you guys this whole last year. We absolutely love it. You guys are awesome. I'm just so excited to just be so involved as I am now. But there's a lot of rumblings about me this season. There's a lot of rumblings in the pro circuit about the possibility of me being 2024 Rookie of the Year. What do you see as the profession, the sport's most unbelievably intelligent analyst?
Well, last I heard was 2023. So if we're already jumping to 2024.
Oh, no. You heard 20. You heard wrong. No, you had heard wrong.
I think it's great. I think, you know, the $20 chef, he develops a deadly airmail. He can be a really, really tough opponent, really tough out. So I got my eyes on him. He's one of those, you know, 5-tool prospects we're looking at coming up through the ranks.
Nice.
Yeah. I've been loving just pretending like I was at the website. I'm going to keep doing that on Twitter. I keep pretending like the website's leaving me off and I gave myself like 1.5 million points, but like the top pros got like 1500 or some shit. And I'm just tweeting the American Cornhole League that I think there's something wrong with the software. I'm just going to continue to do that because I'll tell you what, as motivated as I am at this sport, right, how much I love, like I got in the garage right now, I got the boards, I figured out the angle, right, so I can't go both ways, but I can put two sets of boards on one side so I can work outside, I can work inside, right? And I'm practicing every single day, dude. Every day I'm doing for a while I was doing 1,000 bags, but I don't have as much. I've been doing 500 bags a day minimum, but I still go to these tournaments and I still see that I'm going to have to throw for 20 hours a day to ever get to this level, but I'm just so happy to be a part of it and know the shit and just be there. But I'm going to be honest. These motherfuckers are so good, bro. People are so goddamn good, dude.
Well, that's
impossible. The blind draws, they're unbelievable. Everywhere I'm playing Jimmy Humans last night. The guys are incredible, these people, dude.
you don't realize how deep it goes. Then
you don't.
You show up to the pool and you dip your toes in the water, you go like, oh, that pool's pretty deep. Like, I mean, it's just
I could swim, and then you get caught up in the waves and shit type thing. And now it's But then you see guys over here walking on water and you're like, oh, all I got to do is try to pretend to do that. I got to practice that for, you know, however many hour to three a day. And then I can walk on water too. And then you keep doing the practicing, but you get no closer to walking on water.
Yeah.
Best advice I ever give people, find someone who's going to kick your ass the next 150 times you play. And then when you win the 151st, then you can go to an event and you'll be a lot better than you think you are.
That's Pat McAfee.
Good advice.
I'm going to have to fucking play him again. I have to play him officially again soon. That guy was 400-0-1. I beat him one time before we left there. But I think
are you still not? You think he's still better than you?
honestly, I couldn't sit, like, as confident as I am in my game right now, I couldn't sit here and say I'll beat him. I just couldn't. I just, out of respect of losing 300 out of 301, and he was always so good. I just haven't seen him play for so many years.
Like, if you played him and he had to just hadn't played probably since for months or a year.
Two,
and gets out of his chair, I think you beat him. If you give him
a couple hours, two days, or a full day
to start throwing again, and the guy is just dangerous.
One of those guys that's good at everything he plays.
Jimmy McGuffin on the early side, basically.
Laser focused, dude. You know, you talk about his whole life was about repetitive motion. Everything he did replied to the same mechanical movement over and over and over and over, and making a ball by a subtle little adjustment, do this or do that or dive ball. You know, it's the same concept, right?
Just way more yards deeper.
Yeah. I just want to be a Jimmy McGuffin, bro. I just want to be able to airmail fucking five in a row on TV, eight in a row on TV. That's all I need, man. I see that Jimmy McGuffin skill set, bro. The Damon Dennis up the middle and airmail, obviously, but that Jimmy McGuffin just stands there just – like he's just at a coffee shop, just reading a newspaper, just barreling pen.
One of the few people I ask, why doesn't he airmail more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why are you even playing with the wood? I would just go at it, bro. Like, none of your shit works on me. I'm going in.
Right.
But
you can't stop an airmail unless you plug the hole. I mean, what else are you going to, otherwise you can't stop it. It's in.
Trey, man, you are the best. We appreciate you. We know you got a busy ass schedule. We got two of you running the whole planet of entire professional sports. No, we know it's more than two. But thank you so much for coming on. Thank you, lady, for helping us tackle your technical issues. Your lady's a soldier, by the way. She's an absolute angel and a soldier. She has your back more than anybody ever seen, and she has her whole life.
She's sitting over here nodding. She goes, I know.
She's just an absolute soldier and an angel, and you guys are perfect for each other. You guys just seem like you're just absolute perfect souls tied together, which is awesome. And thanks again, man. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming. Faye, thanks for finally agreeing to come on the show after 10 times.
Oh, I don't want
to
hear that.
Tell us to fuck off.
Keep crushing it, brother. It's so fun to watch. And it's just the greatest sport going right now, in my opinion. So,
if you're not following the Cornhole by now, if you're not following American Cornhole League by now, get off our feed. Right now.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, brother.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.